Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning, friends and neighbors. Good morning, angel time hoverers. To the ghosts and demons, to the incubi and the succubi, when you're frozen in your sleep and your heart sinks deep, as the fear grabs you by the nuts. Because it is Tuesday, May the 20th, 2025. Bo Blimp Doc, if you can believe it. It's almost 8 a.m. here on the Olympic Peninsula, and it's your good friend Dan talking, right? Until he goes completely fucking insane. Oh, here's a quote from Dr. Freckles before we get into the fucking rant. I endeavor to consume the Word of God. I endeavor to consume the Word of God. Despite drinking Satan's beer, he said, hold my beer. He said, watch it for me. But he's an untrustworthy freak. And I'm just a weird old geek, so yeah, you told me to hold your beer, but I finished it off, Lucifer. But that's what I wanted you to do. Really, Satan? You claim ownership of things that are not yours. And it's the classic story, isn't it? I endeavor to consume the Word of God, but instead I look to my sins and my failures and my disgrace. And that's a perfect way to start off today's podcast, because it more or less indicates where I'm at. The other day I talked a little bit about my situation vis-a-vis Bluehost, and I wish I hadn't in a lot of ways, for different reasons. I suspect I don't really have that many actual listeners, and because I don't, almost by definition, I'm going back to the well over and over again if I request any support. And as I said the other day, who doesn't need some fucking help at this point? You know, I've gotten pretty good at treading water. And for the most part, I expect to tread water into the future, you know? I expect to keep doing this until I die. And I'm okay with it. What I don't suffer very well are all the fools that sometimes surround me who just haven't come to grips with those simple fucking facts. So I am sorry. Not because I didn't tell the truth, but because, you know, what's the fucking point, right? If I believe what I believe, and I've more or less tried to remain consistent, hopefully not to the point of error, then 10 years ago, I expected things to fall apart completely. And then 5 years into that prediction, 2020 happened. And I can't tell you for certain why they've been doing the things they've been doing. I can't. I can tell you it's crazy. And I'm not saying that there aren't listeners who don't get value out of the podcast. I bet there are. There has to be. Otherwise, this is like a depth of hell that I've introduced myself to, really. And I've met a couple people. But then I've met a couple people in all kinds of circumstances in the last decade. And I've come to realize some of these people are fakers. And it doesn't make a person special to run into them. Throughout history, really, there have been con artists and grifters. And in a decent society, like any other type of darkness, it's a background radiation. You don't have a lot of it because people are doing the things that people should do. But when you live in a society that emphasizes illusion over reality, emphasizes the superficial over anything solid, when you live in a society so obsessed with a certain angle of aesthetics that they spend as much time ridiculing those that don't match. And then they give you constructions, and I mean right now the CIA, they give you constructions that never fit in the first place. And they say, this is normal. And then 5 years later, they'll say, well, this is not normal. They'll give Norman Borlaug the fucking Nobel Prize. And then they'll say there are too many fucking people. And then a couple years later, they'll say there's not enough people. Are we fucking learning yet? At all? It's like Alex Jones. If you compare his, you know, words today to what he was saying in 2011, it's absurd. It's so opposite. And you say, well, no, he's been consistent. How? He's part of the system at this point. He is very much part of the system that he attacked so many years ago. And he's providing the same bullshit Hegelian dialectic, problem, reaction, solution, and we're stuck in it, and it's fucking stupid. This podcast is fucking stupid when you consider that the most important concerns for a lot of people right now and for everybody very soon is food, water, shelter. Not probably even electricity, but food, water, shelter. And if you want to say, well, Dan, without electricity, we can't pump the water, this is very true. You've built yourself a palace of complexity, modern human. And it is a bouncy castle that has to be filled with air all the fucking time. Because once it rips, once it tears, once the engine blows up, it's over. The bouncy castle drains of all of its gas, and we are left with a big pile of shit. And if you're wondering, is there any organizing principle to today's podcast? Yes and no. I mean, yes and no. It seems like, and I think I've said this a few times, but I feel like emphasizing the point, but it seems like since July of last year, July of 2024, specifically the great McPoyle plot with the Iwo Jima jump shot, the perfect fucking photo, and because somebody got killed, it must be real. I mean, I gotta tell you, I think a shit ton of people were murdered in 2020 to make the COVID seem real. I think some of them were murdered as a result of incompetence at hospitals, but I think a whole bunch of motherfuckers were murdered outright. Because as much as we might think corn syrup and red dye looks like blood, nothing has the existential patina of actual death. Because actual death is connected to people. People who tell stories. Ultimately, people who create folklore around the people that died. And there's a shit ton of folklore about 2020. So of course, the McPoyle plot of last summer had to have a victim. How else would it really look fucking real when you think about it? So yeah, the PSYOP level right now in that Spinal Tap sense seems to be about 11, and that was basically 2020, and it's hard to say what that means. I mean, in some sense, it's like bookends. You have the 2020 COVID monkey herpes BLM Antifa bullshit, and now you've got the 2025 Trump doje take a fucking wrecking ball to any sort of trust bullshit. And folks, I would love it if such a thing, like the Department of Government Efficiency, could exist. But it is in and of itself fucking ironic and impossible. There is no such thing. We have discussed this before. It's like the libertarians who say, well, we can put the crocodile on a diet. Even if you could put this motherfucking crocodile, the U.S. government, on a fucking diet, it's filled with tumors, baby. It's filled with parasites. It's filled with a screw worm. The only thing that provides it locomotion are all of the tumors and maggots and fucking parasites that exist within it. And when that bouncy castle from one angle or that giant sack of parasites splits open, it's not going to be pretty. Not at all. You have an institution of death and destruction. You have an institution of grifters and con artists. What do these people do when society has to focus on food, water, shelter? That's a good question. I've been to some scary places in recent months, but not because I think they're scary, But because I'm kind of scared and I'm kind of ashamed that I didn't visit these locations earlier, I think 10-7 was kind of a wake-up call for me, like it was for a lot of folks. You know, we're fed this, I would say, daily diet since I was a kid. So let's say since I was born in the year 1970, I'm fed a daily diet of how the state of Israel is our ally. The state of Israel is our friend. The state of Israel is the only good country in the Middle East. The state of Israel would like to live in peace with its evil neighbors, but its evil neighbors constantly want to kill it. By the way, in the history of the quote-unquote West, there was another city, and I'm going to call it a city-state because the state of Israel is really just a fucking postage stamp, but there was another place exactly like this, that griped like this, that did the passive aggression and the psychopathy exactly like Tel Aviv, exactly like the state of Israel. It was called Rome. And believe you me, Rome's neighbors hated the fuck out of them. As we covered before, the reason why they almost lost the Second Punic War is because their neighbors on the boot, their fellow Italians, hated the fuck out of the Romans. But they would say things like, oh yeah, we want the peace and build the roads and try to work with our neighbors. And then ultimately, the story of Rome, one of the stories, is they'll stab you in the fucking back. And that's not about being Jewish, by the way, if you see it from the right angle, the correct angle, because what the fuck did Rome have to do with Judaism? Zero. But it could be about being evil. It could be about building places that attract ants, so to speak. But in this case, it's not the donuts that attract ants. It's the crooked societies that attract, that build, that construct sociopaths and grifters, murderers, engineers of death and deception. That's my truth vis-a-vis the state of Israel at this point. But my whole life I've been told they're the good guys. Another thing I've been told my whole fucking life, as I've mentioned, and I feel like I need to reiterate because it's a recent understanding on my part, is that there are certain things you don't have a right to question. And it's not just the H word. It's like 9/11. If you walk into a room of quote-unquote educated adults and you start asking questions about why World Trade Center 7 fell 7-8 hours after the first two, people's eyes gloss over and then they walk the fuck away. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to discuss it. They don't want to think about the fact that no steel frame building in the history of fucking steel frame buildings ever behaved like they did on 9/11. Ignore it. Don't talk about it. It's taboo. We started burning the fucking evidence the day of. We knew who did it the day of. And then we all had collective amnesia for a couple years and barely understood what happened. And when we did, we were told we were fools, right? You know, South Park said we were fools, huh? The Hardley boys, the Shardley boys, who put the dookie in the urinal. Yeah, that was a fun episode. We were told we were retarded by South Park, by, you know, Penn and Teller, by all the voice pieces, voice speaker voices, the representatives of the system. You're retarded if you don't believe the story. And if you question it, you're kind of evil, because why would you question it? 3,000 Americans died, right, in change? I mean, of course, 10 times that number at least, maybe more than that, 10 times that number at least, but probably way more than that, are men, women, and children we just wiped off the face of the earth, probably 100 times more, off the face of the earth between 2001 and today, all in the name of the war on terror, and we keep using that excuse, and you can't question it. So yeah, when somebody uses the H word, Holocaust, I find myself in a position of being an agnostic. Could it have been true? Could it have happened? Was Albert Speer that fucking retarded? It is possible the guy who saved Hitler's ass was so fucking retarded that he signed off on the Final Solution. But here's what I will say. Whether the fuck it happened or not, it gets used as a justification for suffering over and over and over again, to the point you have to ask yourself, how many fucking people does the state of Israel have to kill so that we're finally over this collective guilt? 6 million? I venture to guess since Israel's existence in one way or another that you could probably trace a number approximate to that. Between their multiple wars, quote-unquote wars of defense, between their activities in the Middle East, between the, you know, if you just consider what their own clandestine activities are vis-a-vis Mossad, maybe they haven't reached 6 million yet, but it seems like they're shooting for that target. So yeah, I have become agnostic with respect to the Holocaust. But the problem is that I see a lot of this as also being kind of a limited hangout. Like, is there truth to it? Sure. Should we consider the state of Israel as potentially not our friend? Absolutely. But it doesn't explain the whole story. Like, I can settle on state of Israel evil. Great. Why the fuck did they throw away their plan in 2023? They had a plan that had been working for decades. A slow roll ethnic cleansing. It had been working. It was functional. In 20 years from today, they would have had Greater Israel. So why the fuck? And I keep saying it because nobody has a good explanation. A lot of people have retarded statements. Well, Trump, well, this, well, Biden. Fuck off. Why did they take, why, consider the landlocked aircraft carrier, the high-speed military that we can't possibly do without, why did these military fucking geniuses take a good plan, crumple it up, and then basically adopt a retarded one? Because it's absolutely evil if it's true, but that's not the relevant fact, and I get tired of hearing people focusing on the wrong thing. I don't hate Jewish people. I don't know what the fuck an anti-Semite is. Because when I was a kid and I would read those books like the Sea Peoples about the Phoenicians, I thought they were pretty cool. Were they probably horribly evil kind of whatever pagans who would burn people alive? That's probably true too. That's much of fucking human history, by the way. We find a lot of bones near the fire, and a lot of those bones are human. Cracked open. Going back a long way. So the story of people killing each other, well, that's both in the Bible and in nature, in layers and droves. There's tons of examples, many such fucking cases. So I'm not an anti-Semite. I don't hate Jewish people. I don't know what the fuck happened with respect to the final solution, the Wannsee Conference, all the death camps. I am 100% certain that every crooked government in history has had prisons where they toss people. Some countries have gigantic prison complexes. By the way, the United States has a gigantic prison complex. And then they're telling us that, you know, in El Salvador, Uncle Ukulele has a fucking suck death camp down there too. So this issue of having lots and lots of camps and prisons where people get tossed, that doesn't really make Nazi Germany special. Did they have some pretty evil concentration camps for cases that didn't involve crimes? Absolutely. So did our ally during World War II, the Soviet Union. So it's hard for me to find the moral clarity that so many people seem to find in this case. What I can tell you from my own perspective is that the United States is in no position to judge anybody. And the state of Israel is absolutely in no position to judge at this point. That the best recommendation I could make to any Jewish person living in Israel is get the fuck out. Because what is true of the Torah, of the Old Testament, and what is laid out in 1 Samuel 8 is very simple. You have but one Lord. You don't get to vote for your Lord. Your Lord wasn't born your Lord on earth. You have a God in heaven. That's it. If you put up anything before the God in heaven, a giant statue, a quote-unquote democracy, some republic in wretched Rome after you kill the Tarquins, if you put up anything between yourself and God, and that includes the Vatican, then you're doing it wrong. That is the message. And in the history of the chosen people, the children of Jacob, governments of Israel have been destroyed multiple times, many such cases. Okay, so even if you are a person who says, well, the Lord protects the children of Jacob, that statement's true. But the Lord couldn't give a fuck about your missiles and your quote-unquote kings and queens, about your empires, about your fucking emperors. He couldn't give a fuck about your democracy, whatever bullshit form it took today. You have but one Lord. And if you don't, you have none. And that is the key fucking message here. So if you live in the state of Israel and you're Jewish, guess what? I don't hate you. I don't think a lot of people hate you. But you probably should get the fuck out because you are surrounded by people who hate you. And unless you are willing, and again, this is important, unless you're willing to kill all of them, and that's it, kill every motherfucker and rack up that 6 million number, unless you're willing to do that, you should get the fuck out because the people you pissed off want to do that to you. And even if you are not your government, and you're not, your enemies identify you as the government. It's that simple. I was going to start a new fictional series. I decided not to, maybe, I don't know. It's kind of grotesque. I think there is this sort of limited hangout, and I think the CIA has been behind this too, folks. I'm sorry. But probably for a long time, maybe since the 1950s for the CIA, maybe since the 20s and 30s for the FBI, but I think that they've mentored, managed, facilitated lots of these quote-unquote far-right racist organizations for a long time. So when you look into the lore of neo-Nazis and stuff like that, I think you find more than a few connections to the feds. It's kind of like the Turner Diaries. I decided to glance at them. And then I did a quick search for the N-word. And a word, if you listen to my podcast, how often do you use the N-word, Dan? Pretty much fucking never. And I have a reason for that. It's not because I think words are bad, but because as a personal choice, I do find that word obscene. Because it does have a meaning, and it does have a connection, and there's a reason why maybe we should think about it. Look, like I said, like the Turner Diaries. If you ask me, the real source of the Turner Diaries is probably the same source as every wackadoo manifesto that gets placed into the hands of some fallen useful idiot or some MK Ultra kid. I think the Turner Diaries are fucking bogus. If you lend them any time at all, if you give them any type of energy, you're probably going the wrong direction. But if you were to ask me, Dan, is it possible that the state of Israel has undue influence on the U.S. government? The answer is, at this point, probably. I think so. I think it has a tremendous amount of undue influence, and it's hard for me to understand why that's good for anybody that lives here. So I don't know. I don't want to go down the fucking road that so many people go down. And that is to say, well, because this government is crooked, ergo, the people that live there are crooked. That's not true. That's not true. But the problem is, the state of Israel was probably a bad homeowners association, and they're all bad, but it was probably an exceptionally bad HOA from the fucking beginning. And understand this, in order to have a functional nuclear weapon by the 1960s, these motherfuckers were starting to build nukes right after they got created. Right after the state of Israel came into existence, they had to start a nuclear program. That is the only way they got to a nuke 10, 15 years later. So that's the state of Israel, a country that when it was being created decided to start building nukes. I don't think that's a neighbor anybody really wants, a neighbor that rips off your land because they say, oh, you weren't using your land. Yeah, these are pastoral peoples that you kicked off. They were using their land, just not the way you want to. And the madness level right now, I say madness level, but you could call it a measure of insanity. The madness level is off the hook. And it's everywhere. It's a general tension. I think y'all know what a witch panic is. And the witch panic is just a term of art, right? Because throughout history, throughout culture and societies, there have always been insiders and outsiders, and there's always been a conflict. And usually it's stirred up by the people who are the insiders. And these are the people, ultimately the grifters, who have control of your culture, your society. And you know, as they study chimpanzees and other creatures, what they come to realize is we're not the only ones that grift. Lots of other creatures take advantage of each other's understanding of the world. Lots of other creatures fuck with each other. They probably don't have our Shakespearean level of sophistication, but this happens throughout nature. When I look at the United States today specifically, it is completely geared up for a witch panic. And I'm not saying a revisiting of quote-unquote McCarthyism. I sometimes think that was a kind of toilet paper shortage. I mean, really. Or like Ferguson 2014, you know, a little bit real, but a lot fake and done on purpose. But I'm talking about an actual witch panic where basically there are enough people around you right now that surround you, that live in your community, and I don't care where you live. There are enough people around you. Some of them are Democrats. Some of them are Republicans. Some of them call themselves conservatives or liberals. Some of them are mega heads. But there are enough crazy fucking people around you right now that if the right motherfucker came along, the right pitch, the right target, which from one angle means victim, yeah, you could have yourself a witch panic. And there's already, you know, groups of people that have been singled out. I mean, clearly, folks that are here illegally, undocumented, would be part of the fucking witch panic. And then you have the perennial target, because everybody, especially homeowners, loved to chuck shit at these people. You got the homeless. And we already know every homeless person is a drug addict, and they're crazy, and they're murderers and criminals. We already know this. We've been told this for decades, that people's brains are prepared. And once somebody throws that switch, you're going to learn some things about your neighbors, and it's kind of terrible that a lot of them are not very smart, and a lot of them can't navigate the world very well. They need to be told what to do, and a person will come along, a shot caller, they'll push the right button, and all of a sudden your neighbors are going to be hanging people, and stabbing people, and killing people, and they'll be doing it because they were told to do it. It won't be fake bullshit like BLM, Antifa, Proud Boy crap. That's a lot of theater in the fucking park, buddy. It'll be real. It won't be fucking corn syrup and red dye. And believe me, when you smell it, and if it happens in the summertime, you'll know what the fuck I'm talking about. And it won't be some dead deer, either. It won't be a dead dog or a raccoon caught in the fucking drain. And it won't end quickly. It'll be weeks and months of it. That's one of the things I wonder. Is that going to happen? Assuming you want a bright side and play pretend that it's only that bad. We're already set up for a witch panic, people. If Papa Blump wanted to point his finger, it would happen. But let's say Papa Blump, like every great Caesar before him, happens to have a little slip and fall. Now, it doesn't always involve stabbings. Imagine that. Imagine a J.D. Trance and the Vice President, Tulsi Gabbard, going before the Romans and talking about their slain friend, Donald J. Trump, and how good he was. This moral figure throughout history who transcended the evil of his time. He only brought the best and most holy things to the world. This will be the fucking speech. And then all of a sudden, but you know what? It was a homeless crazy person. It was somebody who was transsexual. It was an illegal alien. It was the Iranians. With all the above, and throwing some anarchists too, because everybody fucking hates them, and we're not in the fucking poem, even though we usually get killed first. Yeah, a witch panic would be pretty fucking terrible, and I kind of feel like that could happen. Yeah. I remember telling you guys a few months ago that I didn't want to track Trump miracles and can't-dos. But if you've noticed, you could have kept a two-column ledger of miracles and can't-dos. The Trump miracles keep happening. You know, he fixed the egg thing. That was one of them. Suddenly he solved the markets. This is amazing. it's only a few months into this whole thing, and suddenly everything he does is good. And what he can't do, he can blame on Biden still, right? It doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, the other day I was looking at an article on Zero Hedge, and somebody's talking about how amazing the Trump program's going. And so what I would want to ask the fucking author is, does he own it? Does he own it yet? But then the next day you'll read another article saying, well, Biden set him up for failure. Okay, so he doesn't own it. But then the next day you read, oh, look at what Trump did today, another miracle. Okay, so he owns the economy. But then the next day they'll say, no, look what Biden did. So Biden still runs the economy, except when he doesn't. Yeah. And it's the same bullshit dialectic. It's like, you know, that motherfucker Elon Musk talking about how there's not enough people. We need to have more babies. And listen, I don't think the government should be in the business of doing anything with respect to babies. They shouldn't tell you to have more babies. They shouldn't tell you to have fewer. In fact, again, my perspective is there should be no government. But if you want to believe in just government, one of the things it should never fucking do is tell people when to have fucking babies. But here we got Elon Musk, and he's talking to people, we need to have babies, we need to have more people having babies. And I gotta say, that's a mind fuck. He pals around with people who would say the opposite the very next week. And there's a good chance that this guy will flip, because he flipped before. He was no friend of Trump 5-6 years ago. He was not his Trump's buddy. And yet all of a sudden, it looks like they're long-lost brothers, because the narrative builders, I gotta say this, the con artists in charge, are really fucking good at what they do. They are. So yeah, Trump's racked up some miracles and can't do's. And as every day goes by, people are getting crazier and crazier. The place where I live right now has that lifeboat feeling to it. And I'll explain what that means. You know, it's sort of like, okay, Rolls-Royce, PLC, Indianapolis, October 2001. It had that lifeboat feeling to it, like somebody's going to have to be kicked out of the lifeboat. And that happened. We had layoffs and, you know, I think Halloween Day 2001, we had massive layoffs. Again, if you're making aircraft engines after 9/11, you're going to have some temporary layoffs. Until you start making the right kinds of engines for, you know, weapon systems, Global Hawk, you name it. Blowing people up's always been business for a while. Yeah. July 2023 in Utah had a lifeboat feeling to it. Like, in a couple weeks, couple months, somebody's got to get kicked out of a lifeboat. Someone has to drown. And right now where I'm at, I feel the same way. I feel like there's really only so many seats. And ultimately, what I have to be at peace with, and it kind of sucks, is that there might not be a seat for me. And I'm both okay and not okay with it. Like, I'm okay with it in the absolute justice of it. Like, this is reality. I don't want to live in a reality where anybody's guaranteed anything. The problem is, I live in a neo-Stalinist hellhole where the people that run things do get the guarantees. They do get the kickbacks. They do get the massive loans to follow their dreams. They get all the cronyism 24/7 that they'll ever need. And this, and by the way, this applies to Elon Musk, you know, in spades, as they say. So no, I'm okay with outcomes and fuck around, find out. I just wish it applied to everybody, you know? But it doesn't. It's like the AmeriCorps thing, okay? Whether you like it or hate it, I think it's about $1 billion yearly as far as budget items. That's a rough estimate, okay? I think it's about $1 billion a year. And I don't know how long it takes for us to burn $1 billion right now. It feels like we're probably burning at least $1 billion a day, probably every few hours or maybe every hour. Who knows? Soon it's going to be every few minutes, right? But if you looked at the budget of the United States and you consider the basic slave labor component of AmeriCorps, which is to say that you don't pay people very much money, and it's possible that half of them don't do anything, but even if that were true, there's still a lot of communities out there that they are getting value. And so if you were going through your DOJ process of finding 800-year-old people getting Social Security and all kinds of other crazy stuff, in terms of your priority, where would AmeriCorps rank? No matter how you see it, I don't care if you're an Austrian, libertarian, communist, just apply your logic, whatever perspective you come from. Would it be one of the first things you cancel in the first fucking 90 days? And then add to the fact that since it's very much connected to public schools, again, you may not like them, you've heard my opinion, whatever, because it's attached to schools, canceling it, what, in April? May? It's dumb. It doesn't make any fucking sense. But if the purpose is just to piss people off, it does make sense. So yeah, there's a lifeboat. You know, I don't have to tell you about that. I think I'm drifting away from God. Or, you know, it would be easy to say God is drifting from me, but that's not true. I think I've reached a point. And some of this may be due to prayer, some of it may be due to Bible study, I don't know. But I've kind of reached the point where my connection is so thin, I'm asking questions and I'm troubled by the thought, very much troubled by the thought that my faith is a delusion. And that, yeah, along with so many other things, that world I believe in, and perhaps I still believe in, is completely manufactured. Completely created, not connected to reality at all. And these thoughts are cursing my soul right now, brothers and sisters. They really are. In every sense of meaning, what that would mean, to have my soul be cursed. To feel as if I am empty of the bread of life. And the bread of life is truth. And you could say, well, Dan, isn't the bread of life the word? And that's also true. But ask yourself this question. If you're a Christian and you have faith in God, is there any truth you hold on to that has meaning outside the context of the word? That's a simple question, isn't it? Are there any truths you hold on to that are separate from the word? And I would answer, probably not. If you're a person of faith, it probably would be connected. It would probably be woven together because that is probably the truth. But right now, that's not what I'm feeling. Right now, I get angry. I get way too angry about situations that I should leave up to the Lord. And I get angry about these situations probably because I want something that I can't have. And that is something I think a lot of people want right now. And that is a sense of justice. Like, we need the truth. And if you have the truth, perhaps justice opens itself up. But right now, I want the justice and I want the truth. And maybe not in that order. You see, this witch panic thing, it sounds absurd, right? Like, could we have a witch panic? Could the right people in charge trigger enough people to just go around and start just burning people at the stake? And I would argue that on one level, we're already there. Like, in terms of social media, in terms of the world that people have invested their mental energy into, their cognitive space, there's all kinds of witch panics out there. All kinds of crazy shit. Mega Man is out there pointing his finger. The progressives are pointing their fingers. People are, you know, you're not supposed to curse, right? And as I've said so many times, cursing is not saying fuck. Cursing's when you wish somebody dead, for example. And there's a lot of that going on. And that's been going on hardcore since 2020. That hasn't stopped. A lot of these judges that supposedly are at war with Trump or Trump's at war with them, a lot of these judges are getting that kind of passive death threat. Like, oh, you should just go to that, you know, happy fucking suck prison in El Salvador. We should send all those college students to the fucking suck rape prison in El Salvador. Folks, these leaders of these countries in Latin America and South America have a Markov model, and they have a history. And it's way more likely that you're seeing AI-generated videos. It's way more likely that what's in El Salvador at CECOT is a big fucking open grave. Way more likely. But that's also, that doesn't fit though, does it, with your thinking if you're Mega Man. It doesn't fit that you'd be sending people to their death. You want to believe that they got so much wealth and resources in El Salvador that they're just going to house people forever and ever and ever, and nobody dies. No, it's probably some type of crooked death camp. hate to break it to you, just about every fucking prison is, including the prisons in this country. You don't die instantly, but a lot of people do get taken out. And if you think people go to prison to live, I don't know how to put it to you. I really don't. So yeah, I'm kind of struggling with my faith right now. I am not lukewarm. That's good. But I am not in a position where I could tell you that I feel any strong connection. It's weak. And then the little bit of the Bible I think I do understand when I'm thinking about this and I think about prophecy, I think to myself, maybe this is a feature of that time. Maybe this is that Yeats poem shit. The best, the worst, the worst, the best. But I don't know that I'm either. I'm just an ordinary fucker like you. And I am trying to make sense of a world that every day becomes so insane that even the designers of Grand Theft Auto, that's Grand Theft, that's a video game, they're even stuck in the whole onion cycle. That the reality that they can't possibly be absurd enough, violent enough, crazy enough to keep up with what the fuck's happening. It's why the Grand Theft Auto 6 release kept getting postponed, because every day they thought, well, at least we're ahead of reality. No, Grand Theft Auto people, you're behind reality. But I have a solution. I have a solution that would save the Grand Theft Auto franchise and prepare the youth for the future. Just take this video game. It's called Animal Crossing. It's very cartoonish. It's really cutesy. And then take the Grand Theft Auto team and you put them together. So you have GTA X, Grand Theft, Animal Crossing, or GTAC. GTAC version X. And so you basically have the same cutesy characters. They go to the store. Hey, here's some fish. Can I buy a piece of furniture? But then every once in a while, somebody comes into that store and starts blasting. You got the guy fishing for the fish on the cutesy little stream where the fishies go by, but every once in a while, there's a little cutesy body with X's on its eyes floating by. And yeah, you got the planes flying around taking people from one island to the next, but every once in a while, some crazy person, probably an Iranian, fills up the plane with explosives and flies it into the, you know, someone's little home on the island. And then you got the meth and the crack. You have all the violence that happens everywhere. Yeah. And, you know, and you probably even have real estate agents and HOAs. And that'll all boil up so that eventually within the structure of the Grand Theft Animal Crossing universe, people will form larger and larger HOAs, and some of these HOAs will start building nukes. And then there'll come a day in the unified worldwide Grand Theft Animal Crossing future where the various cohorts and segments, you know, the various grid lords, they decide this is too much. I can't stand the grid lord in quadrant 5. Push the button. And then all those cutesy little islands with the cutesy little people, their houses flip over and missiles come out of them. And, you know, it's over. It's over for Grand Theft Animal Crossing. But that's how you keep up. That's how you stay streets ahead, as they say. Just merge those two video games and you'll be fine. And I only have a few more topics in this random screed. So, back to the dialectic. And I can testify to this. I'll tell you straight up. When I was a cadet, and I don't want to give out too much information, but when I was a cadet in ROTC, there was going on at the time the issue of don't ask, don't tell, which means that if you're gay, lesbian, homosexual, you can be in the service, but nobody can ask about whether you're gay, and you're not supposed to tell people. And that policy was kind of dumb, but that was dumb on purpose. Because what they wanted to do is force the process, problem, reaction, solution. They introduced a problem that was going to lead to lots of lawsuits, and the ultimate solution was, you know, to normalize it, to say, no, you can be lesbian, you can be a gay man and be in the service. And then in the last decade or so, and it's kind of absurd in so many ways, they said, no, you can also decide that if you're a man, you're a woman, you're a woman, you're a man, and ignore the fact that surgery in general should be avoided unless it's necessary. Ignore the fact that it's so far outside the ken of reality, and ignore the fact that this naturally increases the complexity of your organization, makes things more expensive. You can ignore so many logical things, but we were told this. Now, again, first 90 days, you have Pete Hegseth saying, you know, all the troops that have gender dysphoria, aka trans, whatever that means, they all gotta leave. They all gotta go. They all gotta leave. Now, brothers and sisters, I hate to break this to you, but I'm just gonna straighten you out. To the extent that any person can use a weapon, the military trains people to use weapons. You could argue that these crazy people, as said by Pete, these folks with gender dysphoria, may not be as good at using weapons as the quote-unquote normal people. But here's what's critical. If you dump thousands of people onto the streets, because that's what's going to happen, who have weapons training, and on top of it, by your own admission, you think they're crazy, then that makes you fucking crazy. This is not simply an issue of ethics. This is a question of how you solve problems. If Pete Hegseth thinks that within the dialectic, it makes sense to have a bunch of people told, it's okay, join in, wear a fucking dog mask on the Navy ship, and then all of a sudden, all gotta go, you're gonna lose your benefits, hit the streets. That's not a formula for solving a problem. That's a way to create a bunch of other problems. No matter how you feel about it, period. The problem with this scenario is that the military naturally manages something called cognitive dissonance, and they engineer into the way they do things this notion of synthetic brotherhood, sisterhood, where, by the way, you know, it's basically kind of a cult. And here's the thing about cults. If you amp people up as members of the cult, if they attach their identity, whatever the fuck their identity is, to the cult, if you tell them by working in the cult you're saving the world, I mean, probably protecting the interests of the state of Israel, but that's not what you fucking tell the cult members. And then all of a sudden you say, you know what? You were cult members yesterday, hallowed and reverent. Now you need to hit the fucking streets because you're crazy. So you have, it's not just that you think they're crazy. You have them in a cult where you make them even crazier. You definitely give them weapons training, and then you kick them to the streets. Brothers and sisters, can you not see what this is? It's a lot like the whole, we're going to take 10 or 20 million illegals and exit them. I don't mean to joke about it, but how many decades is that going to take? Because we don't currently have the troops, the police, or the ICE to do it. Yeah, they can show you movies. It's just like the fucking suck prison in El Salvador. They can show you proof of life AI. But I'm talking about reality right now. You can believe whatever nonsense about how Trump shut down the border. Pretty certain the Port of Seattle is still working for Chinese, though. Yeah, you can believe all the bullshit you want about Papa Blumpity Blump. But at the end of the day, does it even seem realistic that they could pull this off? So then what is the fucking point? And the point is simple. It is to confuse. It is to enrage. It is to basically push people to the edge of madness. And then we get to this whole red line. I love these red lines. These red lines are great. Everybody loves red lines. We've given the state of Iran, not the Iranian people. I think they're like most people. They don't want to be involved in any of this bullshit. But we've given the government of Iran a red line. They can no longer enrich any uranium. Now, folks, how many ships, U.S. ships, has the government of Iran, how many U.S. naval ships has it sunk? This is not a difficult question. I don't think it's ever sunk one U.S. naval ship. How many U.S. naval ships has the state of Israel attacked, burned, and then when the sailors went in the water, strafed them? Again, you're not supposed to hear this because it's an inconvenient fucking fact, but you should research how many U.S. naval ships the state of Iran has sunk and how many U.S. naval ships the state of Israel has attacked and sunk. But Dan, they made a mistake. You see, that's it, though. Whether it's 10-7, the USS Liberty, 9-11, and so it's, you know, it's not just the state of Israel. It's always the, well, we were retarded, right? They were really retarded. That's how 10-7 happened. There were paragliders. you know, we couldn't figure it out. We were retarded. 9/11 happened because we were really retarded. We're supposed to believe them on the monkey herpes. Like, shut down your fucking life. Leave the Walmart open. Don't think about the whole sit down, standing up at the restaurant. But the church has got to go. And why? Because the government always knows the truth. But when it comes to 9/11, or in the case of Israel, 10/7, well, we were just fucking retarded. And keep in mind, part of the propaganda, as I've said so many times, that surrounds the state of Israel is that they're our necessary military ally because they're so fucking good at what they do. Well, except for those cases where they're fucking retarded, right? And, you know, if I was going to have a musical festival, I would not have it next to a bunch of people that hate me. I wouldn't. I mean, that's because I try to be reasonable. But how fucking crazy is it to have a music festival next to people that you yourself say only hate you? Your own propaganda says only hate you. Your propaganda machine in the state of Israel says the Gazans and the people in West Bank only raise their kids to hate. And then you come back and say, let's have a music festival right next door. That is retarded. So you can settle on Hanlon's razor if you want to. You can say the United States government in 2001 was retarded, that the state of Israel is fucking retarded. I love it. I agree. You can say that, but you can't come back and tell me, but they're our necessary military ally, because that is, again, fucking retarded. So the red line that Trump has given the state of Iran is a non-starter. If you believe that these are independent agents, if you believe that what's going on is natural, not synthetic, and I don't particularly believe that at this point, but if you believe that, if you believe this is all the play of power politics on the world stage, then what we've given Iran is a non-starter. They're not going to go along with it. They know what happened to Gaddafi. I mean, it's pretty fucking obvious what happens to them. They know what NATO has been trying to do to Russia. So no, they're not going to go along with this bullshit. But at the same time, folks, this fucking red line, it probably is a hair trigger not to stop enrichment, but to go above the threshold, which means that In a way, and maybe the Trump administration did this on purpose, what we've done is we basically said, if you don't have a nuke yet, state of Iran, you better get one soon. That's what we've done, is by giving them this red line, we basically said, you know, you don't have a nuke yet, you better get one soon. Time's coming, baby. It's high noon. Oh, there's an F-15. With a 2,000-pound bomb heading for you, Iran. Yeah. Nobody is confused about what happened to Libya. No one's confused about what happened to Syria or Iraq or Afghanistan. And when you consider that none of the folks on those planes, quote-unquote, on 9/11, were from any of those fucking places, it becomes more interesting. Oh, but Dan, didn't Osama bin Laden use Afghanistan to train? Yeah, yeah, he did. We did too, right? We used lots of places to train. Hell, we trained the Mujahideen in Afghanistan. Tell me something that's different from the CIA. But no, the actual people in the planes on 9/11, I think they were all Saudi. Wow, that's one country we didn't fucking attack, isn't it? Yeah. There's your rant. That's where I'm coming from. And as I would tell you, because I try to tell myself if my faith were strong, be careful about blaming God for the shit people do. Be really careful. Because most of my grievance right now, if you've listened to what I've said, has zero to do with God, might have something to do with Lucifer and his followers, but has nothing to do with God. God didn't want us to take our liberty, our freedom, our lives, and give it over to destruction. I think the Lord would prefer if we turned this place into a garden. It's never going to be paradise. That's part of our fucking problem, but it could be a garden. The Lord would like us to do these things, I think. But the fact that we're not doing these things is part of the issue too, isn't it? I don't know. Anyways, nothing has changed as far as my situation, if it's relevant. it's the same as it was the other day. I am, as I said, sorry for bringing up the Bluehost thing, not because it was false, it was definitely true, but because it's not a real fucking problem. And if I could give myself advice, I would say, why don't you wait a spell before you cast everything aside? Don't be too ready to throw Jesus off of the boat, as if that matters, right? The Son of God doesn't need to depend upon my boat. It's more of, do I want to jump the boat, so to speak? I don't know. How I'm feeling, folks. What's going on in my head? From day to day, I couldn't tell you or give a good reason as to why I should do anything that is healthy or consistent with living a long life. From day to day, I'm finding it hard to come up with a rationale to do the things to take care of myself, really. And in the last few months, I've tried to change that. You know, I bought some weight, so I'm trying to walk more. And in a sense, you know, I am trying to make progress there, but I'm having a hard time. Hard time seeing anything that appeals to me more than simply just dying in my sleep. And that's the truth, too. And I've been here before, so you should not be too worried. I think I first was a floater in this context in terms of circling in the bowl when I was 20 years old. And I think the second time it hit me was right after I got out of the Army. And it wasn't so bad. It lasted about a year. And then in 2009, a bunch of stuff started happening in my life, my personal life, one thing after another that, I don't know. It's like I've had a consistent background radiation of what the fuck is the reason for doing X for the last 16 years. And if you are a parent, if you have kids and grandkids, I can think of lots of good reasons for justifying your choices. But I can't think of one fucking reason that justifies any of mine. And if on top of that, you think that all of this, not just podcasts, folks, it's not that simple, it's not going to be that pleasant, but when you realize that all of this could be going away for a long time, I mean it, the internet, the dependable electricity, the reliable and safe food, even if it does lack all nutritional value, it could all go away for a long time. That very soon, people will see something that happens rarely in human history. I mean, okay, it happens in pockets even today. Like if you lived in Yugoslavia back in the 90s, you would have seen this. And I believe if you're living in Gaza today, you see this. If you live in the West Bank, if you live in Syria, Libya, you name it, Lebanon, all across the Middle East, people do see this. I do believe that's the case. But your average American since World War II has no experience of it. And very soon, I think a lot of Americans will. And it won't be dancing nurse bullshit. There won't be any dancing nurses. In fact, there's a good chance that a lot of your necessary healthcare workers, along with your cops, along with your firefighters, a lot of them, maybe not all of them, will be the first ones to bug out, to head up to that cabin in the hills. And you might find yourself abandoned in a city, but not alone. You might find yourself existing in a cityscape, but you won't be alone. And there will be people that surround you, and maybe a few of them will be decent, but a lot of them will be a product of American civilization since 1945, and that's not good. And they'll see you as protein. Some of them will see you as something to feed their cat. And in those moments, you might look up to the Lord, even if you've spent your whole life as an atheist, and you might shake your fist and say, God, look what you did to me. And it'll just be another fucking lie. Another lie that Americans tell themselves about so many things. Why did you do this to us? And if you wanted a setup for a witch panic and a time of terror, if you wanted a setup, a perfect setup for a deceiver to come along and trigger a witch panic, you couldn't have a better one. Because so many people are ready to take their wrath and their rage and their anger and toss it at somebody else. And if they can't actually find peace, then they'll make sure that nobody gets peace. That's why and how the AmeriCorps thing makes sense. That's why and how all this Trump nonsense from day to day makes sense. The purpose is to solve nothing. The purpose is to set up the place for a fire. And then the question is there going to be some pretender who puts the fire out, or is it just another fire in history? And there have been a few, brothers and sisters. You might come across a realtor who will talk about the concept of a super city, or cities that transcend history. You might have a friend or a neighbor or even someone in your family who loves flipping houses and likes to say, listen, some cities, they're always here, and that's kind of fucking true. Like, there are certain places where there are estuaries, and there are certain places where rivers run into the sea, and it is true, some cities have been around forever, but did you ever ask the fucking question, how many times have they burned? How many times have most of the people been killed by a plague? How many times have armies swept in and ravaged the city? And once you go down that road, the realtor argument, the friend, the neighbor trying to tell you everything's fine, you realize it's a fucking lie. Sure, London has been around forever, and London has burned. Moscow's been around forever. I think during the Napoleonic Wars, they set fire to it themselves. And you can tell me that the children of Jacob have been around forever, and that statement is true. That's a true statement. And you could say the children of Jacob are beloved by God, and according to the word, which is the bread of life, which is truth, that is also the case. The children of Jacob are beloved by God. But if you try to tell me about governments of Israel always being there, that's when you're a fucking liar. You're lying. You're lying to yourself. And if you're a teacher, a rabbi, and you tell your folks at temple this is the case, you're lying. It's true the children of Jacob have been around forever. And governments of Israel have been set fire to forever. My advice, if you live in the state of Israel, is get the fuck out. Have a great rest of your Tuesday.